Started. Brother Barry, would you open us up, please, brother?
Our Father, we bow and trust. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come back into your house. I pray for those that burden, those that heavy hearted today. I pray for that family, Lord, for death is in heaven and loved ones. I pray you would meet with us, give us exactly what we need from your precious word. Touch my brother now, Lord. I pray you put a hedge of protection about him. Lord, for all that you do, we'll be careful. By our unworthy heads, we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. All right, we are in Romans chapter 3, and we're going to pick up where we left off last week, Romans 3:3. Now, doctrinally, we understand Paul's talking about the Jew here, and also we're going to get into the, you know, all the Gentiles are under sin, but what advantage doesn't have the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision, much every way, chiefly because that unto them was committed the oracles of God. Now, we talked about last time, we talked about how the Bible is a Jewish book. We wouldn't have this Bible if it wasn't for the Jew. And then we talked about some practical application as far as church history is concerned, and some of the men and the women that came to this country and that kept this word going and kept the Bible and at the forefront, and Jesus Christ at the forefront, okay? And so we talked about the Great Awakening and the Second Great Awakening, all those different spiritual revivals that took place in America, some of the great evangelists that we have had in this country, some of the great pastors and teachers, and all down through the last about 300 years or 400 years that we've been in existence since the Mayflower. But we're going to get back on some practical things and or some doctrinal things here, and let's look at this thing. Once again, he said, verse 3, for what if some did not believe? Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about the Jew, right? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. And that's a great principle, isn't it? So just because that some did not believe does not make what God said untrue. Okay, oftentimes you get that with people where they think that, well, because the masses think one way, then it must be true. Okay, so I'm going to show you a good principle here. Can you hear me? Good? Okay. Good principle is this. Now, it's a principle, not a promise. It's like the Proverbs, or principles, not promises, okay? You can train up a child in the way that they should go, but sometimes they do depart from it. Okay, but it's a principle, right? All right, so this is a principle. So we have more truth equals less people. Okay, and let's see, less truth equals more people. All right, more truth, less people. Less truth, you got more people. That's a general principle today. Now, this is the way the world operates, the rudiments of the world. Paul says, speaking the truth in love, right? Well, the problem is if you don't have a balance in that, the modernist wants to speak, they want to speak love but not the truth. And a lot of times the fundamentalist speaks all truth but no love. So there's got to be some balance in between there. But you see this in the modern day setup with a lot of these mega churches and this modernism and these things coming in. They're huge. They're massive churches. But what do they have less of? They have less truth. Okay, and there's exceptions that prove the rules as far as Bible believing works, but the more truth, you got less people. Generally, that's the case, right? We can think of Gideon. How many people did he have? 300, right? How many people did he start out with? About 30,000. And it goes down to 10,000, then the Lord says, nope, whittle them down even more. You always hear about that remnant in the Old Testament, right? I'll tell you who had a lot of people. That was Moses. Did he have a lot of problems? Sure he did. Every time he turned around, they're murmuring. All right? So we can think about those things. So the more truth, the less people. And so that's just going to, it's a divider. He said, suppose ye that I'd come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. Then he says, but a sword. Well, what's the sword of God? It's the word of God. And it's the dividing line, isn't it? And so you see that a lot of times. Look at John chapter 6. Look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6, Now, this is the bread of life. Okay, we're going to look at John 6:60. After he gives his sermon about him being the bread of life. John 6:60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "It is an hard saying, who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except that it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Notice the chapter and verse reference in John 6:66. That's interesting, isn't it? So these folks started out with him, but when he started preaching on hard doctrine, what took place? They walked away. They no more followed him. Okay? You can think about Paul at the end of his ministry. How many people were with Paul at the end of his ministry? He said, only Luke is with me. How many people did he start out with? Started out with many followers, right? But as that thing went on, and the things got harder and harder and harder, and he stuck to the book and he stuck to the doctrine, less and less people would come with him. Demas, remember Demas? Demas had forsaken him, right? Demas was with him. Okay, you see it over there in Colossians. He says, you know, Demas, he commends Demas. Okay, so this first stint in prison, Demas is still with him. But when it comes to that second time, and he's writing over there in 2 Timothy, Demas forsook him. Right? And that's just a lesson for Christians that don't get discouraged because you think we don't have a lot of people. Well, that's because a lot of times there's more truth. Okay, and the more truth, you're going to have less people. Now that doesn't mean that you got to go out there and you got to be a jerk about things just to prove your point. All right, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because some people can take it to an extreme. They purposely set out to offend. Like I said, you're speaking the truth in love. Okay, there's got to be a balance. Okay, you've got to have truth and you got to have love, but you have to have both of them. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Don't set out to give offense just to prove, they just don't come because they don't want the truth. Well, sometimes it just could be a simple fact that you're a jerk. And people don't want to listen to you. Amen? Anybody ever seen that? Okay. I mean, you see it all the time, and they think that because they get this Paul complex, and they want to get out there, and they would shock and awe, and they want to try to offend people purposely just to prove that I'm more godly than you are. And it's just really just foolishness. Okay. Paul never did those things one time. He always tried to... He always tried to, as a missionary, win the trust of the people that he was ministering to, okay, being all things all men that he might win some, even going as far as shaving his head, having Timothy circumcised, those kind of things for a testimony's sake, not because he believed that you needed to do that for salvation, but for his testimony, he did those things. Why? Because he was trying to win people to Christ. So he spoke the truth in love. Well, if you love somebody, you'll give them the truth, right? Go to Galatians chapter 4, if you will. Galatians chapter 4. He says, verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy, because I tell you the truth? Well, in this case, he was their enemy, because he was trying to tell the folks that were trying to get saved by keeping the law that they were wrong, that they're justified by faith. Now, let's go, as we get in here, Romans chapter 3, we'll see how that comes into play, but you understand that sometimes people are not going to like you because you do tell them the truth. All right, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. The word of God is truth, and it is the dividing line. It is what puts down the gauntlet and divides the wheat from the chaff, is it not? And that's what it did with even with the Lord's own disciples. Okay, there was the 12 apostles, and then you had the 70. Okay, and those men walked no more with him. Now, we look at the end of the Lord in his ministry. How many people were with him at the cross? What was the majority? Who was the majority at the cross with him? Men or women? Women. There was one man, his name was John. But he forsook him and then he came back. Right? I can tell you, when I was teaching down there at the other church I was at, when I first started teaching that class, there was probably 15 to 20 people in there, and I started teaching Galatians, just like I teach you, verse by verse exposition. Well, it whittled down real fast. I got to about 3 people, okay, and they were all women, and they were faithful, and they were there every week, and they stuck it out. Okay, did I change what I was teaching, how I taught? No, I'm going to keep preaching and teaching the truth regardless of how many people show up. This is a blessing. Okay, I know I've heard some comments. People say, well, I hope more come back to Sunday. And I hope they do come back to Sunday school. And I hope that they do want to learn. But I'm going to teach the same regardless if I got 2 people or 200 people. Okay, that's something the Lord has put down in my heart, that I'm going to preach the truth. And if it has less people, well, that shows you're doing something for the Lord. Okay, not being a jerk. Okay, not purposely setting out to offend people. Okay, that's important. So we see that right there. More truth, less people. That's a principle. Less truth, more people. You see a lot of things in cities, right? People flock to cities. Well, how much truth is in a city? Now, you get away from the cities, what do you see? A lot more truth. A lot more folks recognize the truth who is a farmer, who understands that things come from the Lord. But when you live in a city and everything's provided for you, you don't have much use for God. You notice how that works? Who's the ones who sets up the first cities in the Bible in Genesis? Anybody know? Cain's descendants. That's something to think about, okay? So, that's a great truth here. He said, God forbid, let God be true, but every man a liar. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 30 once again. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, well, verse 5, we talked about the word of God last time, right? Proverbs 30, verse 5, but let's just go to verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven? Now, what did he just tell them in John chapter 6? What and if you see me ascend back into heaven, right? Or descended. Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? If thou canst tell. Who's he talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee in what? Thou be found a liar. So that means that every single Bible corrector who ever corrected the word of God, What's the Bible say about them? They're liars. And they're in it for filthy lucre. Amen. This is the only book that you cannot copyright. King James Bible. All the rest of them are copyrighted. Why? You got to pay them. You got to pay them. And so he says, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. All right. Now we talked about last time, Hebrews 4:12, remember? We talked about that word discerner. He's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Discerner. Remember I showed you what that thing is in the Greek? Kritikos. Right? That's where you get the word critic. That thing's a critic of you. The Word of God is judging you. You don't judge the Word of God. It judges you. Nowhere in that Bible does it ever tell you to criticize the Word of God. But you notice the one that they always criticize. This one. If you don't think so, you should look at some of the comments from my Sunday school class. Okay, that they folks get on here and I start mentioning these things. Now, they don't have a problem until I start laying the gauntlet down saying, this is the Word of God. People get all kind of mad about that. Okay? Why? Well, man doesn't like to be criticized. Well, don't you think you should have what God said? Don't you think you should know what he said? Look at John 12. Look at John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and rejecteth not receiveth not my words, he hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. What's the last day? Great white throne of judgment. When the books are going to be opened. Okay, but man is always trying to justify himself to God. That's religion. Man always wants a part in his own salvation. He's always trying to prove how good he is when the Bible says the exact opposite about man. You know the only person in the Bible that calls great? Anybody know? It's a woman. It's a Shunammite. Just a woman. That's who he calls great. She took care of the man of God. So people always, you know, a lot of times you get out there, some of these scholars on the street, and they say, well, you know, the word of God's written by, or, you know, the Bible's written by man. Well, if man wrote this book, he sure put a lot of negative things in there about him. I mean, honestly, do you think that David was really wanting you to know what happened between him and Bathsheba? I mean, honestly. Would you want people to, you think Peter wanted you to know that he forsook the Lord? No, but it's in there. Why? It's written for your learning and for your admonition. Okay? So we have the truth. We have the truth. Thank God we have the truth. All right, let's look at Job chapter 4. Job chapter 4. Job chapter 4, verse 17. Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. So much for worshiping of angels. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom. Well, the belief in God is the beginning of wisdom. They die without that, right? All right, let's go back to, let's go to Job chapter 40, and then we'll go back to Romans chapter 3, and this will make some sense. Job chapter 40, this is when the Lord answers Job. Look at Job chapter 40 and verse 6. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. Could you imagine that? You're talking about a sermon. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? See that? Man's always shaking his fist at God. Well, if God's such a good God, why does he allow X, Y, and Z? You don't know his ways. His ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Okay, you won't do things the way God will do things because God is holy and he's righteous. You see, and so the things that we see, we can only see so much. God sees everything. You notice Moses, when he goes up to the mount, all right, to I think it's Pisgah, and he goes up there. When he gets up to the top, what does God show him? The promised land. But when you're down there in the valley and your perspective is only that, okay, you can't see the things that God has for you. But the higher that you go up that mountain, the more that you can see. You get God's perspective the higher you go up. But when you're down here, the only thing you can see is right here. You can see your problems, where you're at. That's it. But you can't see what God has in store for the future for those that love him. Amen? All right, so a lot of times we get this worldly, earthly perspective. Well, he says set your affections on things above. But a lot of times we set them down here, don't we? All you got to do is turn on the news and it'll scare you to death. But we cannot see things a lot of times because we're looking through our fleshly eyes. Okay, so God's given us this book, and he says here, man's trying to justify himself, and he says this, he says, wilt thou also disannul my judgment, wilt thou condemn me, that thou mayest be righteous? All right, so man's trying to justify himself before God. Look at Romans 3 again. Look at verse 4. God forbid, yet let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. So at some, these folks are judging God. All right, now let's look at the verse. See the verse there, verse 4? Let's go back to the original quotation in Psalm 51. Notice the difference. Notice how Paul has a little liberty here in the scripture. Psalm 51 and verse 4 is the quotation. He says, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Now, who's doing the judging here? God is judging. What is he judging? David's sin, right? But Paul changed that quotation. He says, when thou art judged. So everybody's going to get their day in court. Great white throne of judgment. Us that are saved, where do we go? Judgment seat of Christ. That's not for us. But the folks there in Revelation chapter 20, when the books are opened, and you can guarantee you this book's going to be sitting right there. He told them in John 12:48, you're going to be judged by what? The words that I've spoken. Well, the words that which I'm speaking, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. That's the book. Okay, so you're going to be judged out of the things out of this book. Well, and so everybody's going to get their day in court. And let's look over here, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. They're not going to get out of it. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of what? Judgment. That's the great white throne. Now here's what man's going to do. He's going to go up there, and he's not going to have his defense attorney. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have a defense attorney. But for everyone who does not obey the gospel and rejects that defense attorney, which is Jesus Christ, which, by the way, that defense attorney is also the one that paid for their sin, they're not going to have anybody to defend them. And they're going to have somebody standing there as a prosecuting attorney, which is who? Satan. There's the accuser of the brethren. And he's going to, you better believe he's keeping record. He's keeping count. Every idle word, it's going to be brought up to record. Did you say this? Did you think this? Yea, Lord. Then you're guilty, aren't you? And you rejected the advocate. All right, look at Philippians. Look at Philippians chapter 2, familiar passage. Philippians 2:7, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's devils, that's angels, that's everybody. That's saved, that's lost, everybody one day is going to be a Bible believer. The devils believe also and they what? They tremble. Okay, so that's just a little bit of there in Romans 3:4, the great white throne of judgment. Everybody's going to have their day in court. Listen, I want a defense attorney. That's what I needed. I wanted a defense attorney. I needed one, okay, because I knew I was lost and I was on my way to hell, and I had no defense, all right? Thank God for his righteousness. Now, let's go back to Romans 3. Look at verse 5. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? All right. How and when is God going to judge the world? Well, we just gave you one. Great white throne. But before that, we got the second advent. People think they're getting away with the sin that they're getting away with right now because they think God doesn't see them. All right, let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. See that? When they're speaking nothing but love, and they're not talking about the holiness of God, what are they doing to them? They're lying. What are the false prophets doing in Judah and Israel? Peace, peace, peace when there is no peace. That's all they preached. God is love, God is love, God is, yes, he is. But you better understand the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, which is the Jew, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. All right, that's Romans chapter 11, verse 22. And he's talking about the differences there. But Americans are just so caught up in all this love, 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 and just love yourself, love yourself, love yourself, that they forget the holiness of God. When Joseph came to his brethren, he spake nice to them or roughly to them? He spake roughly. Remember that when they came down to Egypt? Joseph spake roughly to his brethren. When the Holy Spirit convicted you, he spake nice, kind words to you or roughly? Did he tell you the truth about yourself and your destination? Sure he did. All right, what did he say to Jacob? What is thy name? Who are you, Jacob? Well, that means supplanter. I'm a trickster. That's right. Now we can get somewhere. Okay? Look at Jeremiah 23 on that note. Jeremiah 23. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? It crushes whoever it falls on. But if you humble yourself, God will exalt you. All right, what's a judge do when he lays down the gavel? What's that thing represent? The word of God. It's like a hammer. Breaketh the rock in pieces. Just, that's it, finished. Off with them. Amen. It's getting kind of quiet in here. All right. So those things are going to take place. Look at 2 Thessalonians. I'm not trying to ruin your day. I'm just telling you the truth here. Look at 2 Thessalonians. Talking about the second advent of Jesus Christ, which the world is getting ready to go through the tribulation. Amen. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 6. Oh, look at verse 5. He talking about they're going through persecution, tribulation that ye endure. He's talking about the Thessalonians. Verse 4, look at verse 5. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. So how do you get counted worthy of the kingdom? Through suffering. Your hope's on the other side. Look at here. Seeing it as a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. What's that? That's second advent. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. He came in as a lamb. He comes back as a lion from the tribe of Judah. He comes to judge. He's had enough. He's had enough. He says, the judge, when he comes back, says, that's it, it's final, time for judgment. Amen? Now, if you're lost today, that ought to prick your heart a little bit and ought to maybe start thinking about, where am I at? Where do I stand with the Lord? Well, if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your advocate, you don't have any hope. Amen? All right, go back to Romans chapter 3. So he's saying here, but if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? No, God forbid, for then shall he judge the world. For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Verse 8, he says, and not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. So what is he saying here? He's talking about people are slandering Paul for saying that he's out here saying, go ahead and break the law that good may come. That's not what he's saying at all. Okay, and this word right here, it's a big word, antinomianism. You see this today. It just means no law. Okay? Nomos, anti, no, nomos is law. It just means no law. Okay? And that's not what Paul is saying at all. He says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But what he's saying is that you're not justified by keeping the law. Well, that didn't sit well with the Jew. Okay? And so what they're saying, they're slandering what he's saying. It's like people that cherry pick what you say. They take one little snippet and they run with it. They don't look at the entire context. And they're lying in wait to deceive. And they're also lying in wait just to catch you doing something. You remember the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the Lord's ministry? What were they always doing? Watching. Oh, he healed on the Sabbath day. Well, folks, he was doing the Lord's work. Even the priests profaned the temple, all right, on the Sabbath day because they were working. But who were they working for? God. The Sabbath, you're not to do servile work, which meant you're not to do work for yourself. So they forgot that. So the God, when he would heal on the Sabbath day, forget the fact the man got healed. We just want to catch him in doing something so we can destroy him. Because we want to keep our place in our nation. And they do it all the time. They're just waiting for you to mess up. You speak enough words, you stand up behind this pulpit. If you do anything out in the workplace, people know that you're a Christian. What are they waiting for? Just waiting. Oh, I saw him do this. I saw him do that. Oh, they're hypocrites, so on and so forth, right? So that's what they're doing here, and they're slandering Paul for saying things he did not say. So he's being a smart aleck is what he's doing. Okay? So they're saying, now this is, there's the idea, okay, who's heard once saved, always saved? A lot of people have, right? Is that true? Mm-hmm. Sure it is. You're sealed by the Holy Ghost. Okay? Until the day of redemption. You're saved, signed, delivered. Sealed, delivered, okay? But that does not give you license to sin. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, okay? So, a lot of times you get this, these groups out here, this free grace movement, okay? There's a difference between liberty, okay, and license. You ever heard of licentiousness? That's where that comes from. Okay, you have your liberty, you're at liberty to what? Serve Christ. Why? Because you were in bondage before, you were married to that flesh. But once you became born again, you got cut loose from the flesh. Now there's a prison break, and now you can serve Christ. And you can actually bear fruit of the Spirit. That's liberty. You are at liberty to serve Christ. Okay? Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. That's license. Got to get a liquor license, right? Got to get all kind of license to do bad. God didn't give you a license to do bad. Amen? That's another thing. There's a misconception there. You know there's groups out there that think you don't even have to confess your sin? They don't believe in 1 John 1:9. Well, that was forgiven at the cross. Yes, but you have a daily walk, a daily sanctification, that if you don't confess your sin, you will not be in fellowship with the Lord. Amen? Now, looky here. Things a Christian can lose. Can you lose your salvation? No. But there's some things you can lose. Number one, we just talked about it, their fellowship. You can lose your fellowship with God. Go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You know when you're in fellowship and when you're not in fellowship with God. When he's showing you things from the scripture, you're walking in the light. When you've got darkness, because you've got darkness in your body, guess what? You don't have fellowship. If you hate your brother, you don't have fellowship. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now look at this in Galatians 5, real quickly. Look how these things match up. Look at Galatians 5:16. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Notice the flesh and the Spirit. Two separate things, right? But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. His blood is cleansing you continuously. You're walking after the Spirit, you don't have to worry about the law. But if you start going back to the old man and feeding the flesh, that law comes back into effect on your flesh. So you can lose your fellowship. All right? Christian can lose their testimony. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 7. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, talking about eating things sacrificed to idols, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat, that is a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being made weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither we, if we eat, are we the better, neither if we eat not, are we the worse. But take heed, lest any man by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. See that liberty? Somebody's using their liberty for an occasion to the flesh. For if any man see that which has knowledge set at meat in the idol's temple, should not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and ye wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. All right, so a Christian can lose their testimony with weaker brethren by doing things that you ought not to be, abstain from all appearance of evil. Okay? I mean, is it bad to drink water? No. Is it bad to drink water from a vodka bottle? I'm just drinking water. Yeah, but you're drinking it from a vodka bottle. You got this weaker brother over here that's watching everything that you do because you're their mentor, and you're discipling that person, and they're seeing everything that you do, and you're not setting the example, and you're causing them to sin against Christ because you don't know what that brother might go back to. He might have just came out of those things. And so when you put that stumbling block before him, you lose your testimony with that weaker brother. And in doing so, you sin against Christ. Okay, a spiritual man is always going to think of Jesus first, others second, and himself last. The carnal man is always going to think about me, 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 I. All things are lawful unto me. Yeah, but not all things are expedient. That's one of the things we're lacking today in today's churches, setting the example. People say any fool thing they want on social media or wherever it's at, from the pulpits, and they don't understand. There's some weaker brother watching everything you do. I appreciate the old breed brother. I appreciate the older men who are in front of me. I watch them and I say, that's a preacher. That's how you should act. The old breed gets it. This younger breed coming up, they just want to do it their own way. They don't want to stick to the old paths. They want to do it the new way. Amen. Well, guess what David brought out when he brought the ark out? What did he get? He got a new cart. They want the new cart. Should have kept with the old one. Shouldn't even put it on a cart. Should have let the Levites touch it. Well, we'll do it our way. Well, you'll get struck down by God. A lot of these times, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to start preaching. All right, a lot of these churches, man, they think because we got big numbers, supposing that gainless godliness from such turn away. Amen? They think that because they got big numbers from such turn away. Well, the only thing that is being produced in a lot of churches today is a bunch of Egyptians, not Christians. They don't care one bit about their testimony and how that affects other people. They want to do it their way. What do they care about? They care about numbers. All right, how about their service? Here we go. Goes right along. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. You're running this race to win. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Lose your ministry, lose your service. Why? Ruined your testimony. What does an athlete have to do? He has to keep his body under subjection to be able to run that race. He has to make it do things that flesh doesn't want to do. He has to discipline himself. What's the root word of disciple? Discipline. Amen? So he's using an athlete here to say you got to be temperate in some things. You have to abstain some things. If you can't be temperate, you need to abstain. Amen? So, for instance, like alcohol, they get on, the Baptists are teetotalers, and they, listen, I don't care what you do. I'm just telling you, you got a testimony. Okay? The problem is when you think you can just have a little bit, you can't remain temperate with alcohol because you're going to build a tolerance. And you're going to have more and more and more. I speak that from experience, not because I'm proud of that, just because I know. Amen? So just stay away from it. That's the best thing you can do. Okay, is it going to affect your salvation? No. But it can affect rewards. All right? You can lose your rewards. Let's go to 2 John. Second John, this is the only place where it's clear, talking about somebody losing rewards, exactly what for. Look at verse 7, 2 John 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist, okay? That's anybody who denies the deity of Christ. That's Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, any of those. Okay, those are the spirit of antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward, or the judgment seat of Christ. Whosoever transgresseth, can't speak today, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now, let's put that in context. That doesn't mean a guy's a Mormon and he's a plumber. He can't come in your house. That's not what he's talking about. You got to understand at this time, churches were in people's houses. So if you were to give that guy an invite and get up here and preach behind this pulpit and he's a heretic, you're going to lose some rewards because you're keeping company with a bunch of heretics. And you're bringing that stuff into your church. That's what he's talking about. Okay, so there's one reason. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Got to speed through this here. I want you to look at verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What is judged at the judgment seat of Christ? It is your motive for service. Why were you doing what you were doing? Amen. You tried to win people to Christ. Maybe you didn't get to win them to Christ, but you tried. Your motive was right. You get some gold for that. Amen. Okay. But you can lose some things too. Let's hurry through here. Let's look at their health. 1 Corinthians 11. Talking about the Lord's Supper. We understand somebody's drinking and eating of the cup, or drinking of the cup and eating of the body unworthily. In verse 27, They got sin on them. They got unconfessed sin. He said for verse 29, 1 Corinthians 11:29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That's physical damnation, not eternal, not spiritual. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Okay, so the reason that some of these people were getting killed off and that they were getting sick is because they were not discerning the Lord's body. When they took the Lord's Supper, they had unconfessed sin, and they just thought it was some flippant thing, right? Just like, whatever. Just they were coming to the house of God is what they were doing, eating and drinking and trying to show off, you know, how much food they could bring. That's a different subject or lesson. But here you see that people were getting sick. And some of them, the next one, their physical life was being taken. See, the ones that sleep, they're in Christ, they sleep in Jesus, but God took them out early. Why? Because they're living after the flesh. Romans 8:13. So there's some things a Christian can lose. Don't think you can just go out here and live any way you please and that God's not going to chasten you. You're his child. And if he loves you, he's going to chasten you. The problem is a person gets chastened so many times and they stop listening to that dog barking, like I gave illustration a couple weeks ago, and they sear that conscience. And the Lord says, all right, they're done. And they die before their time. I bet these older preachers, I can guarantee they got probably examples of folks that you've seen like that. I can think of a few myself, but listen, there is accountability. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, we'll end here. Look at verse 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. That's pretty harsh words, isn't it? Remember the man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, taking his father's wife? What did Paul say? Give him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved. Now, that's the Bible. I'm not giving you just one or the other side of it. My job is to give the whole counsel of God, from Genesis to Revelation. We have the mind of Christ. What do you got? Right here. Amen. All right, we're going to end there. All right, Father, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, and just thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Sometimes, Lord, it's hard for us to swallow it, but we got to believe it because you're holy and righteous and just. And Father, I just thank you for saving me. I thank you for giving me an advocate with the Father. I pray for the service today. Pray for choir and Brother Barry as he leads the singing. I pray for Brother Dean as he brings a message today, Lord, and just breaks that bread of life. One more time, just I pray that he'd give us something that we need to hear. In Lord Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen.